In Sitka, because we're a small town, small in numbers, sometimes we have the heart for something. We want to do it, but we just don't have the capacity, the actual physical, mental, emotional capacity to accommodate.
Oriella Hughes is the outgoing director of Braveheart Volunteers, an organization that supports the elderly in Sitka. She says that while her volunteers are well-trained to deal with many aging-related issues, they're simply not equipped to address the complex needs of seniors with mental illness.
Our training for our orientation is about 6-7 hours. And you could spend that amount of time just starting to touch the surface, I think, on mental health issues.
But Hughes says Sitka is not without mental health support for its seniors. Local psychologists see elderly clients on an outpatient basis, and the nonprofit Sitka Counseling and Prevention Services offers in-home mental health care for seniors. But for those with severe mental illness in need of assisted living or long-term care, there are few options.
My greatest fear is these people will fall through the system and we won't catch them. And we just need to be able to provide that safety net for them somehow.
That's Phil Welsh, director of the Sitka Pioneer Home. He says he'd like to see this population cared for within the state system. But like all Pioneer Homes, Sitka's facility isn't licensed to care for residents with serious mental health issues. And according to the Mental Health Trust Authority, there are fewer than 150 beds in the entire state licensed to care for people who are both elderly and mentally ill. None of those beds are in Southeast. Ron Adler is the director of the state-run Alaska Psychiatric Institute, or API, in Anchorage. He says the lack of assisted living beds for seniors with mental illness is having an impact at API as well.
You know, it always takes a problem to get something going, and I think the problem is hitting us now. And I don't think we have been prepared to deal with this population, and we have to step up to the plate and start addressing the issues associated with treating these folks.
In the past 6 months, API has seen more elderly people involuntarily committed to the hospital than ever before. That means that judges throughout the state are being asked to commit people for their own safety or the safety of others. Adler says that many of these seniors don't belong at API, but they're slipping through the cracks of the healthcare system and landing in his hospital. He says he's deeply concerned about the trend and has called it to the attention of the Department of Health and Social Services and the Attorney General's office.
I wouldn't want to see that become the norm in the state of Alaska. I think the judges are making those decisions, whether we like it or not, in the best interest of the individual that is being presented to them. But I think that in the long run, we really want to find something else, another place for them to go, other than to the state psychiatric hospital and winding up on an involuntary psychiatric commitment.
It's not clear what's responsible for the trend. But according to a report by the State Commission on Aging, seniors with mental illness are seeing many barriers to care within their communities. In-home mental and behavioral health services are rare, and assisted living facilities aren't equipped to care for the special needs of mentally ill seniors. Adler says that caring for people exhibiting what he calls maladaptive behavior requires specialized training, training that most people working with the elderly don't get.
One of the very first things you teach the direct service staff is the need for empathy. One of the problems that you get into with maladaptive behaviors is the more empathy you show somebody that is misbehaving, the more they will misbehave to get the attention that they want. How you intervene with somebody like that is going to be different than the crusty 84-year-old who just didn't like lunch or dinner that day.
Oriella Hughes agrees.
It really takes an upgrading of the capacity of the staff to be able to care for people, not just a custodial care, but actually make room in our heart and minds for a totally different type of population of people.
It may not be the qualitative shift Hughes is referring to, but changes are being made, mostly at the state level. The Pioneer Homes are undergoing a system-wide audit to help them assess the needs of Alaska's elderly population as it grows and changes over the next 10 to 25 years. And according to Division Director Dave Cody, finding a way to care for residents with mental and behavioral health needs is a top priority. He says it will require a huge shift in how the homes are presently equipped. But with an estimated 25% of older people coping with mental disorders, the system can't afford to ignore their needs. Here in Sitka, the topic has received some attention, but most stakeholders agree that the community could and should do more. Again, Oriella Hughes.
If you would go around and talk to different people that are involved with this population, you're going to find a lot of people in agreement that there is a need here. Let's sit down at the table and address it openly, because it's not going to go in the other direction. We know it's actually the numbers are just going to keep going up. We're living longer, and we're living longer with chronic illness, dementia, and mental health issues. So we've got to figure it out. We really have to figure it out.
In Sitka, I'm Shalise Haas.